And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Doing okay. Doing all right.
Good. Michelle, how are we doing?
Good. The bags under the eyes are quite noticeable this morning.
A little sleepy.
A little sleepy this morning.
The glasses kind of cover them.
You know how you can feel them when you can feel the eyes?
Oh, yeah.
I woke up without eyeballs in this morning, like, because I'm blind without my glasses, and I'm like, ooh, I look rough this morning, but going to have a good day.
That's interesting because, actually, when my eyes are puffy when I wake up, that means I had a better sleep.
Really?
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like, the puffiness is like, oh, I actually got enough sleep.
It's your eyes just squeezing shut.
I don't know.
So much.
Maybe it's just something for an old person.
But I don't know.
That's a tell for me. Interesting.
Joe, some tough news yesterday. Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show. He's not yet entered his darkness retreat. That happens later this week.
Okay. But
apparently, Ian Rappaport just totally mistaken on that. And Rodgers went on about a 5-minute rant against Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter. It was basically like, yeah, neither one of those guys talk to anybody that's within my circle, and anything they say about me, they have no idea what they're talking about.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
I totally missed that.
I like that spiciness.
He's a little spicy. You know, of course, halfway through it, he's like, you know, I don't have anything against Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter. Like, oh, okay, well, kind of sounds like you do.
But
he's basically
all due
said,
respect.
He said, I think those guys are really good at their jobs. Anything they say about me, they have no idea what they're talking about. Basically what
okay.
he said.
Okay.
So
right.
His darkness retreat begins later this week, according
okay.
to him.
He didn't say when, though?
No.
He didn't say what day?
Later
okay.
this week.
All right. Hey, real quick, tiny rant.
Okay.
Thinking about it, Michelle, Chase, it's Rappaport. It's not Rappaport. Have you noticed this with him? You got to correct him.
Oh, Chase says it. I thought you were yelling at me. I'm like,
Sorry.
Okay, we all know that I pronounce many things wrong.
No.
This
isn't you. This is Chase.
Chase McCabe.
Oh, I'll yell at him today.
I heard him the other day. Like, even Rappaport. I'm like, Rappaport?
Rappaport.
I have not noticed this.
Yeah, check it out, man.
We'll definitely bring it up today because we'll talk about that. And I
yes.
won't say anything. And I'll be like, oh, Chase, who reported it?
Yes. Ian, what was his name again, Chase? Yeah, do that. Set him up. You'll be like, oh, we'll take care of this.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
Let's get after it. Chase tries to kill us with a temperature. We're going to kill him with pronunciation guides.
Exactly. So, all right. So the darkness retreat is later this week.
It is.
That's too bad. I was hoping that by, the weekend, we'd know where he's going.
It doesn't sound like that's going to be the case.
Yeah. So, it'll probably go through the weekend, then.
I would say that's probably the case.
Okay.
So, we'll see what happens on that front.
Anything else on the McAfee? Any
a whole lot about the darkness retreat.
Yeah.
Not much football yesterday. A whole lot about the darkness retreat.
Anything, really interesting?
Not really.
Okay.
Then he started talking about UFOs and all sorts of other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. There may be some UFOs
there
out
could,
there being
could be.
Shot down.
Let's see what happens on that front. So, Joe, there's a player on the Titans that I feel like in some cases has been totally forgotten about, discarded, whatever word you want to use as it relates to his future. And in some ways, I get it. In some ways, I also look around and say, he's a first-year guy this past year that probably had no business ever being on the field. So what does this mean for him as they move forward? And I'm referring to Malik Willis. We've talked a lot about the Titans quarterback position this offseason and Ryan Tannehill and all that stuff, and we'll continue to discuss that as the quarterback movement continues to unfold throughout the NFL offseason. But the Titans did still draft Malik Willis in the third round last year. He did get on the field at times this year, started a couple games. Didn't go overly well for Malik Willis when he was out there. Like you, I, everybody that watched him, for the most part, would agree that probably had no business being on the field this year. But unfortunately for him, circumstances were what they were, and he had to get out there and he had to play. Now, obviously, Joshua Dobbs comes in at the end of the season. He takes over as the starter for the last two games, plays okay. Certainly, I think everybody would agree, has played better than Malik Willis did during his time in there. So the question now becomes, with the guy who drafted Malik Willis gone and Rand Carthon coming in, and now that we've seen Malik Willis play and have a baseline of kind of where he is right now in his development as a quarterback, what do the Titans do with Malik Willis? How do you handle the Malik Willis situation as you move forward here? And it's fascinating for me, Joe, on a couple of different fronts. Number one, he is a third-round pick. I think he does have some ability. I think the arm talent, when you watch him throw the ball, You can see it. I mean, he's got some pop to him when he throws the ball. There was one play he made. I think it was either the Kansas City game or it may have been the Houston game where he was just backpedaling, and he threw the ball kind of like a fadeaway shot, and it was just a perfect throw on the sideline. You're like, geez, that's a heck of a throw by Malik Willis. And there's also the camp of, well, the Titans need to go out, and whether it's bringing back Josh Dobbs or whatever the case is, they got to make sure they have a good option backup quarterback next year, which would then make Malik Willis your third quarterback. So what are you doing on that standpoint? Is he going to be on the team? I mean, there's a lot of different ways this thing could go with Malik Willis.
Yeah, well, first of all, I agree with you. It's amazing. Had he not played a snap, there'd be a lot of different discussion about him. We'd still be talking about, what about him? What about Malik? Who knows? He's had this year to develop. What is he? Look at those preseason games. You saw the arm, you know. And I think there'd probably be some people like, all right, Malik Willis, you're in for Tannehill. This is the year. This was always the plan. You draft him for 2023. It's your time. You watch him play, and it's like you go completely the other way. Like, this guy will never play a meaningful snap in this league. And, yeah, it's too early to say that. I mean, I have to put myself on the pessimistic side based on what we've seen overall because, you know, it hasn't been good. But, again, it's like he wasn't – like you said, he wasn't supposed to play. So, first of all, I mean, Titans could – I mean, moving on from him is really not a big deal. I mean, it's like $700K in dead money.
Right.
So, I mean, you can easily move on from a third-round pick and you're fine. So that's an option. I mean, I would, you know, I understand it's the different GM. So that's another thing. Like if it was John Robinson, I think it'd be less question. It's like if you're John Robinson still in the jobs, like I invested a third round pick in him. Yeah. He is going to get an opportunity to, give us some ROI, you know, John Robinson being gone means a lot of decisions like that are looked at differently with a new GM, but to me, it's like you let him see what he can do this offseason, see what he is when he comes back in the spring. And I like the idea of like Willis and Dobbs competing for QB2. Personally, if it's going to be status quo at quarterback, which I think it will end up being, Tannehill QB1, I like the idea of those two guys competing and bringing Dobbs back, and Dobbs is a, you know, free agent.
Dobbs is a free agent, and I think certainly he played well enough he's going to have a job somewhere as a backup quarterback.
Yeah, he helped himself.
He helped himself, I think, a lot. So I think he's going to have a job as a backup quarterback. I think it does make a lot of sense to consider that here if you're the Titans. Really what I would want to know from Mike Vrabel, and he's not going to tell us this, but I would want to know from Mike Vrabel. I think all of us have a good idea of where Malik Willis is right now based on his development. My question for Vrabel would be, did you see enough throughout the season with him in the classroom, on the field, on the practice field, in the game, whatever it is, all the whole picture, did you see enough there where you could forecast down the road and say, all right, I think we can get him to this certain point where he is a good player and can be a starting quarterback in the league? You know, he's obviously not there right now, but are there enough tools that are there both physically with him, mentally with him, being around him? Those are questions that I couldn't begin to have an answer to. Vrabel would know the answers to those questions. Did you see enough where there's hope for him in your mind moving forward that he could turn into a starting quarterback at some point? Or if you're Vrabel, are you watching him after 1 year and saying, yeah, I just don't know, man. I don't know if he's ever going to get there.
Yeah, look, obviously Vrabel, it's not like Vrabel's alone in this, but I feel like maybe more than some coaches – yeah, I would say definitely more than some coaches. You know, the leadership, the intangibles, like how did he handle being benched? You know, I mean, he told us all the right things. According to Pat O'Hara, he's like, you know what? He came in earlier and he stayed later after that. Like, that's a good response. But then my next question was, why wasn't he already doing that?
Right.
You know? So there's kind of, you know, figuring out the landscape and everything too. But yeah, I think those intangibles are really important. Do they think he can lead the football team? Because ultimately, that's what you got to do. I think that's an underrated thing for Tannehill, for some people. that Tannehill is a good leader, and you got to be able to lead a football team. So how does he go about his business? That's like all that this year with him that Vrabel spent with him. What does he really think about him? I mean, he's not gonna tell us exactly. But then to your point, how much better can he get? I mean, I still believe the tools are there, you know, for him to be an NFL quarterback in some form. I mean, I think certainly he's talented enough to be a backup quarterback in the NFL. But honestly, I mean, he has the talent, the raw talent to possibly be more than that. But it's just, you know, it was a rough start.
Well, and isn't, from the Titans standpoint, though, like, isn't that the spot that he needs to get to this offseason? Like, if you go into, because I agree with you, like, I would not mind seeing a quarterback competition between Dobbs and Willis for the backup role next year. But, like, if Willis can't win that, to me, that would be a pretty good marker of, yeah, this probably just ain't going to work if you're the Titans. Like, to me, I think the goal, if you're the Titans and you want to keep Malik Willis around, like, the goal should be that he's good enough to be your backup quarterback and you trust him going into a football game next year.
Exactly.
And it was obvious, you know, he was the backup quarterback last year out of necessity, but, I mean, you couldn't run half your offense with him in there. Like, that can't be the case with him next year.
Yeah, and you could also criticize that whole decision-making process them, too, because – again, I'm not some huge Logan Woodside fan, but you could have done some different things with him. I thought he was going to win that, and that they were, you know, they're going to keep three. And then as time went on, I mean, again, it's amazing to think that the Super Bowl champion was very close to losing to Malik Willis on a Sunday night game at home.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so I guess you could say, well, they did have him at quarterback, and they still played some good football, but he was very limited. So I agree. That's got to be the standard. Okay, he's got to take a huge leap to be that. And if he's not that, then you could cut him and hope to get him on the practice squad. And you might. He might clear waivers, but I would think that somebody out there might take a flyer on him if that were the case.
So what should the future of Malik Willis be? How fascinated are you about what Malik Willis brings to the table in that decision that the Titans have to make moving forward? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and Malik Willis, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mark from Nashville. Mark, thanks for calling in. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Joe, Michelle, Robbie.
What's up, Mark?
With Malik Willis, I keep always going back, and I know I've been like a repeat on this, you know, the Hugh Freeze offense and whatnot. I don't know if he could beat Dobbs out as a backup. I would keep Dobbs, maybe bring another, get another veteran in to maybe back Dobbs up in Tannehill or whatnot. But I, you know, like Robbie said earlier, man, if he can't get it done and beat Dobbs out, that you know you may have to release him or cut him. I mean, I don't know. I don't really see Malik lasting really too long in the NFL, man. He just doesn't really, you know, show that he's that kind of guy to be an NFL quarterback. That's just my opinion. But Joe, I want to tell you before I get off the phone, I told you I was going to call and motivate you this morning.
Oh yeah.
We're not betting any money today. We're betting steak dinners.
Wow, and, yes.
Yeah, we're betting steak dinners.
Keep it to Ponderosa.
You know, well, we're not going to do Ponderosa. We're going to go in style, Joe, and go Longhorn, you know. But yeah, Joe, I'm going to be checking you out today. Hope you do it up, get round two, and get your second straight win today. I'm going to be counting on you, man.
Yes.
I need that steak dinner.
That's right,
Yeah, I
Mark.
Need that steak dinner.
So much pressure.
But, oh, yeah, you'll be all right, Joe. It's not a lot of pressure, man. I mean, I have to give Steelman credit. He He is smart. He does his homework. Guy's good. You know, he really is. But
well, let's
you know,
not
Joe,
go.
You know, but you know, Joe, you know your game too. You always stay on top of your game, man. And you know that's why I'm pulling at you, pulling for you and stuff. But no, man, no pressure, Joe. You're gonna get it done, man.
All right, I'll do my best for you, buddy.
All right, y'all have a good day, man. And we'll talk to y'all later.
All right, Mark. Thanks, we appreciate you.
Oh, I love Mark calling in every morning.
Favorite caller.
Thanks for reminding me I have to do that today, Mark. Just hoping I have an enjoyable day. But that's right. I have to argue with Stillman for a half hour.
Steak dinner on the line. Just saying.
All right. Okay. Well, you're going for two in a row. You know, look,
I have faith in you.
Hey, if I was in Caroline's shoes and I had to do this every week, I would. I mean, if someone wins three in a row, the other person's going to win the next one. You know what I mean? Like, that's just human nature.
She doesn't have to be with him every day anymore, so she can just do however she wants it.
But you'd do the same thing. Like, if you had to moderate this as a subjective argument, then you're not going to let either person win all the time. If that were the case, Jared would have zero wins. He's never actually won.
Really want to get under one of your skins? Because if she had you win every time, Jared would freak.
Oh, yeah.
And vice versa.
Saying that would be fun, wouldn't it? Well, it would. Yeah. Well, hey, when Jared won, like, whatever in a row, I was like, you know what? I want Jared to win. I do. Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Reverse psychology.
That's right. Liam texting in says, on Malik Willis, he's so young and raw just to write off. I really hate it when people keep screaming that he sucks. I hope he gets his real shot to grow
Speaking
into the
of
role.
The devil. Yeah. No, well, and that's the thing. I mean, since we're talking about Jared already, I mean, Jared's, of course, on the, he is terrible. And making like way too much of he had an unimpressive press conference after the loss at home to
Houston.
Who the heck was that? Well, yeah, that was the Houston loss at home. You know, he didn't, and he got a little snippy, and he's like fantasy football, blah blah blah. And you know, he had some. I mean, he was upset, and so he didn't handle it great. But I mean, God, give the guy a little bit of a grace. You know, I mean, he's a rookie. Heat of the moment. Sometimes after games like that, you don't feel like, you know, he got asked like McCormick's like, what happened in the interception, which is a totally standard thing. Tannehill after every pick. Okay. What happened on that play? And a lot of times it's like, what happened on the touchdown? And, you know, Malik was like, it was an interception. Like, okay. Could have handled it better. But I mean, that's why he has no chance of, you know, being an NFL quarterback. I mean, let's turn up.
The Malik Willis conversation is really interesting to me from this standpoint. I think there are a lot of people that are in that boat of, man, he's really bad, and there's just no chance that he's ever going to be anything good. And then there's, like, the other side of things that is viewing Malik Willis as, like, the future franchise quarterback of the Titans. And I guess I would be leaning more towards, yeah, I don't know if he's ever going to be all that good. But, like, either side to me that is that extreme, I'm just like, I don't really know how you could get that.
How could you be certain of anything right now? Yes.
Like, you know, we've heard about, you know, obviously we know there's plenty of Titans fans that are just out on Malik Willis right now. Like, we've barely talked about him so far this offseason because we just
He's
like,
an afterthought.
He's an afterthought.
Yes.
I mean, that's where he's at right now. The distinguished gentleman on YouTube in our comment section says, Malik Willis equals Steve McNair, Jalen Hurts. The kid was not supposed to be playing, period, behind that line. So you could potentially get rid of your franchise QB and wideout in 2 years. This from the distinguished gentleman on YouTube. So talking about getting rid of A.J. Brown, and we're talking about potentially moving on from Malik Willis. Hmm. Like, I don't know. Like, I guess I can't really get there totally on either side yet. I'm certainly not in the, well, Malik Willis could be the franchise quarterback one day camp right now. We've got a long way to go before we can get to that conversation. And, you know, I also don't think he has no chance of ever successfully strapping on a pair of shoulder pads ever again in the National Football League either.
Yeah, I mean, talk Jalen Hurts. Okay, so Jalen Hurts was a starting quarterback at Alabama. You know, he did get replaced in the National Championship. Then what? He won the Heisman. He did win. Did he win the Heisman at Oklahoma? Or did he not win the Heisman?
Okay, he went to finals. New York. He didn't win.
He got to New York, didn't win the Heisman. He was a Heisman finalist. He was the favorite for a lot of that year, I think, at Oklahoma. But he was a great player at Oklahoma. And, you know, I mean, and Malik Willis – you know, transferred from Auburn, couldn't get the job at Auburn. I mean, like, and again, I understand that college outcomes don't always translate. You know, like, you can find the quarterback from a, you know, an FCS school that becomes a great player. I mean, Josh Allen, you know, whatever. Sure. But, I mean, I, I think there's a pretty big difference in like Jalen Hurts' pedigree coming in the NFL and Malik Willis, for example. McNair, interesting situation going way back. I mean, but McNair, I mean, different time period and 2 years of basically no one having any idea. And obviously, you're talking about a great player. Look, last year's quarterback class was not good. I'm not sure any of these guys from last year are going to pan out at all.
Like Kenny Pickett showed some signs.
Yeah, I mean, I think he could be fine. Yeah, he could be fine. But, you know, you've got, I mean, Ritter right now, who knows?
Yeah,
I have no idea.
So, Corrales was hurt. Yeah, don't know about him.
And yeah. I'm not real big on him. We'll see. I'd love, you know, surprise me. But that's the thing with him. There's still the element of, ooh, I don't know. Maybe he's great, you know. Right. So I agree. It's the belief that you know exactly the outcome for Malik Willis right now, I think that's the mistake.
Alex from Montreal says, if you want to be drafting a top quarterback next year, start Malik Willis.
We've talked about that.
Thank.
That's a great thank.
Look, I mean, in all seriousness, I think the chances of Malik Willis being the starting quarterback for the Titans next year, outside of injury, is about at 0%.
Oh, yeah. Well, right. I mean, unless they are actually going that route.
And I don't think they are.
No, they're not. But that would be the only way. No, I mean, he's not. And I could see him having a huge offseason, taking big leaps, coming back and being a different player. That absolutely could happen. It still would not, to me, put him in a real strong position to threaten Tannehill for the starting job. But if that's the case, that's a good outcome for the Titans. And I think that he could, you know, keep QB2 and be a better option. Look, I think Malik Willis has a higher ceiling than Joshua Dobbs.
I would agree.
But, you know, right now Dobbs is a veteran and he's just a more reliable player.
But I also think based on what we've seen from Malik Willis to this point, like there's no way if you're the Titans to me that your plan could be absolutely, yeah, Malik Willis is our backup quarterback next year. Like, it just can't happen. No. Whether it's Dobbs or somebody else, you got to get a quarterback in there. And then if Willis beats him out in camp, well, then great, and you can react after that. But there's no way to me that the plan sitting here today for Carthon and Vrabel could be, all right, Tannehill's our starting quarterback and Malik Willis is our number two. Like, you just can't do it.
Well, especially because, I mean, there's no question. You could see it. You could see it on the field. You could see it in the building. I mean, Joshua Dobbs comes into a building and everybody's like, oh, wow, that guy's awesome. Yeah. You know, I mean, so I'm sure he has to be part of the discussion right now.
No question about it. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, you know, a conversation we had with David Poyle about the Predators, the state of the team right now. The trade deadline comes up, and we asked him about John Hines as well. You'll hear that conversation with Predators general manager David Poyle coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We caught up with Predators general manager David Poyle yesterday, and we got into a variety of different topics with the general manager. A tough loss for the Preds against the Arizona Coyotes. We talked to him about that, what that could mean for the trading deadline as they move forward, and his thoughts on the status of John Hines as well. Here was that conversation yesterday with Predators general manager David Poyle. And welcome in Predators general manager David Poyle, brought to you by Kubota Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. David, good morning. How are you?
Well, I think you teed it up pretty well, meaning what happened last night in terms of a team that we should have beat and we didn't beat. So it was not a good result last night. But the sun came up, and we got to get our act together and have a good game against Boston.
So, David, to that point, I mean, you joined us last week, and it was the, you know, the aftermath of the break. Things were going really well heading into the break, and it's been a little bit of a slow start coming out of the break. Not a great game against Vegas. You do get the win in Philadelphia, and then last night against Arizona. I guess, what have you made of the response? What have you seen from your team that's led to these results coming out of the All-Star break?
Well, once again, I think you said it very accurately. You know, I really felt good going into the break. I mean, three really good games had that team meeting where everybody seemed to, get off their chest, whatever they needed to get off their chest, and like everybody was committed to having more consistency. And we kind of laid an egg that first game against Vegas, a nice rebound against Philadelphia a couple of days ago. And then last night, I mean, played a pretty good game, in my opinion, in terms of the first two periods. Lots of chances, pretty close to, you know, dominating them. But just as we've had most of the time this year, just not really getting a lot of goals. I mean, you know, we're around the net. One of the areas that we've talked about, and it was again last night, is we've missed the net or had shots blocked and in really key situations. And I think at the end of the game, it was almost a ratio of 2-1 in terms of shots that we missed the net or had blocked versus Arizona, which again is when you add up the shots and then the shot attempts or what have you, you know, we pretty well dominated the game from that standpoint. But the goals were not there, and the third period was not as good as the first two periods. So, you know, here we are with a tough loss, and we've got to, we're certainly running out of time in terms of, you know, having our best games, getting the points that are necessary to make the playoffs.
What's your frustration level, David, just overall with that, with the ups and downs and the, you know, the inability of this team to really get traction?
Well, I think one of the key parts of my job is to set the expectations correctly for our team, ownership, for our fans. I really believe going into this year, and I still believe that we are one of the teams that should make the playoffs. But, you know, here we are over halfway through the year, and we're not there. So, you know, either I'm right or I'm wrong. And, you know, this goes back to all the conversation we've been having this year, a little bit of inconsistency, some down years from some players that had spectacular years last year or career years. It's all adding up to the, you know, exact same situation or the same result. It's, we're close, but we're just not there. And as we talked last week, we had a good road trip before the break, won three games, and then we lose three games. So we've never been able to get the momentum, which all good clubs always get. I mean, we need to go on that 5 or 6 game winning streak. I mean, that's the type of thing that we need to have happen, and we certainly were hoping that was going to happen, you know, coming out of the break, but so far it hasn't happened.
David, it was a scary moment on Saturday with Philip Forsberg kind of going down in the corner and the way that he got up. Obviously, when I saw the news that it was day-to-day, I took that as good news based on what I thought it could be. Do you have any more clarity on the status of Philip Forsberg, and how do you guys go about trying to navigate the roster without him in the meantime?
Yeah, it was a very scary, situation. The good news is Phil feels, pretty good. But, you know, we're just being cautious and taking a little time. So I really don't have any update for you. He's not going to play on Thursday, for example. But hopefully this will be a short-term situation. As you see, we called up Phil Tomasino. You've asked me that on a couple of shows. So really, Phil got his place, if you will, on the top two lines. You know, we had a good start to the game last night. I think he had a really good scoring opportunity, but it was okay. I like a lot. We all like a lot about what Phil brings. And again, it's now we need him more than ever. So for you and for those that were asking for Phil Tomasino, here he is, and hopefully he can make a difference. And he's like I say, he's not playing the fourth line like he did last year. He's going to get prime time, prime minutes, and hopefully he can produce, because we really need some goals.
Well, when Forsberg does come back, David, is there a case to be made for Tomasino to stick around, even if he's not in that ideal role, just as another skilled player who might be able to help you guys manufacture a little bit more offense?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no reason that shouldn't happen. I mean, he's going to control his own destiny. That's exactly what we would like to see happen. And I'm just repeating myself. He's going to get the opportunities here in these next games where Phil is not in the lineup. And let's hope that he can make a difference. I mean, we need somebody. We need something to boost us up a little bit. And he's got as good a chance as anyone to do that.
Predators General Manager David Poile with us here on Robbie and Rex. So, David, we hear from fans on a daily basis, as you can imagine, frustrated with the way the season has gone to this point. And a lot of the anger that we get is directed at John Hines. What's your response to that? What's been your evaluation of the job that John Hines and his staff has done this year?
Well, I, you know, done this job for a long time, and I mean, I think that, that comes with the territory, whether it's the coach or the GM. I mean, it's always the same thing, isn't it? When everybody gets frustrated, you can't trade, you know, 20 players. You can make a change in management, you can make a change in coaching, and oftentimes teams do that. I for sure think that's always the easiest road, and I'm not prepared to take an easy road. This is a team responsibility. I mean, you cannot, for me, separate the coaches and the players for where we are right now. And everybody has to do a better job. I mean, there, as you're talking in this interview, I guarantee you that John Hines and his coaching staff are as frustrated as anybody. But it's I just don't think that is the problem with our hockey club. I think our players have played better. And again, we have nobody that is having a career year with our team. And, you know, again, that's the responsibility. The guys got to step up and play better. I fully believe that we have a team that is capable of making playoffs. I fully believe that we have individual players that have not played their best this year. So, again, I'm a team guy, and it starts with me, and we all have to be better.
Deadline getting closer here, David. I guess would you have to be in a much worse position mathematically by that day or by that direct time period to seriously consider selling?
That's what keeps me up at night. You know, right now we're still below the line, not in the playoffs. We're running out of time. Just like this interview, I've been talking about inconsistency and people need to play better, but that hasn't happened on a regular basis. So I do not think we're a buyer. Let's start with that. And I think if things don't, you know, change more favorably and get in some kind of winning streak, we certainly could be a seller, but that's not today.
Predators General Manager David Poile here with us here on Robbie and Rex. So you've got Boston coming in on Thursday, David, who to this point has been a machine, one of the best teams in the NHL. What's after a game like last night, what do you want to see beyond the obvious of the win-loss result as a response against a team like that coming up on Thursday at home in your building after the way the game went last night?
Well, it might seem crazy to you, but I'm glad that we're playing the best team in the league. I mean, we need to take our game up to a higher notch, and why not do it against a top team? We didn't do it against a team like Arizona that we felt we should have beaten. They're lower in the standings. Let's see what we can do against the top team in the league. And, you know, if you can have a good performance, have a win against the top team in the league, maybe that's what gives you more belief. That's maybe what gives you more confidence. So I'm really looking forward to what our players do here on Thursday against the Bruins.
Predators General Manager David Poile, our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow, joins us every Tuesday morning at 8:30. David, appreciate your time as always. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Predators General Manager David Poile, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. We got a lot to get to on the Preds. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Moving is no fun and can be expensive. You can save on your next move with our Nashville's Best Deal of the Week from Black Tie Moving. Get $200 off a half-day move for just $75 or $400 off a full-day move for $150 at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. Interesting conversation with David Poile yesterday, Predators General Manager. It generated a lot of reaction from the Predators fan base yesterday. You know, the clip of him talking about the deadline, great question by Joe Rexrode about, you know, what would it take mathematically for you to enter the conversation to be a seller. He talked about how at this point he doesn't think that they're going to be a buyer. So I think establishing that, not overly surprising. We've talked about that, but for him to just come out and say it that way yesterday, I thought was noteworthy,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
When he said it with us yesterday on the show. And then, you know, obviously, he kind of drifted the conversation to, you know, if things don't get better, selling is going to be on the table for the Predators. And we kind of talked yesterday about what that is and what that could look like and who does that include if you're selling, if you're the Nashville Predators. There was one thing that we didn't touch on this discussion, and really with the Preds as a whole yesterday, and especially after his comments. And Shane points it out on the text line. And it's not the first time that I've heard David Poile say something like this, but I do want to bring it up because Shane on the text line says, one of the things that stood out to me was Poile saying no one's having a career year. If the roster is built in a way that it needs players to have career years instead of their normal years, then the roster is severely flawed. This is from Shane from the Borough. And look, I hear what David Poile is saying. Like, usually on a team, you can find somebody that's having a career year. I mean, you can find, you know, whether it's a Tanner Jeannot.
Right, last year maybe Tanner Jeannot's career year.
Right, whether it's Philip Forsberg. Like, it doesn't have to be Forsberg, Duchesne, Yossi, Jeannot all at one time every year, but you can usually find someone. But to Shane's point, like, if you're looking at your team and the expectation is, well, you know, Philip Forsberg scored 42 last year. If he can do that again, we'll be in great shape. If Duchesne can score 43 again, we'll be in great shape. If Tanner Jeannot, you know, he scored 24. Does he get to 30? We'll be in really good shape if he can do that. Like, there is a level of regression to the mean that I think as a general manager, as a roster builder, you've at least got to be aware of. I mean, we talked about it heading into the year. What were the chances that Forsberg and Duchesne and Yossi were all going to approach what they did last year? The chances were not going to be high. Like, they just weren't. And, like, if you're thinking that way, I don't know that David Poile was. I'm just saying, when you start talking about career years, like, I have thought about that before. Of, well, they're called career years for a reason. Like, that doesn't mean they're happening every year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it might be a little bit of semantics there, because, you know, I don't think he was saying we need guys to have career years or we got no chance. But I mean, Shane, here's the thing. I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, the roster is severely flawed. All right.
Yep.
I mean, that's a, like, in terms of if you want to compare it to contenders in the NHL, certainly it's flawed. But, you know, it's like we expected some regression, but also you thought adding Nino Niederreiter, adding Ryan McDonough, you know, would fill some of that in, so you didn't have as much pressure on those guys to do the same thing. But when you go down across the board and also you have, like, Johansson and Granlund, just have, it's like just a lot of, I think underperforming is fair to say, right? I mean,
yes.
Underperforming from, to some extent, maybe not dramatically underperforming, but at least to a small extent from everyone but who? I mean, Saros, Lankinen. I mean, Yossi's still having a really good year.
Cody Glass.
Yeah.
Parson.
Yeah, the young,
I mean, the young guys.
Yeah, the young guys have come in, and it's a good thing they have, you know, and that is a good thing, you know, for the future of this team. If Cody Glass is going to keep playing like this, I mean, I think that's a nice sign for the future. And to your point on Parson, I mean, Parson's got a really promising future. But, yeah, the veterans, the higher-paid guys, pretty much across the board, not doing as much as you were hoping.
Glenn from Laverne says, I think Hines has lost the team. I totally disagree with Poile. He definitely got praised when the team was doing well and motivating the players to do a good job. The fans who watch the team every night and spend money to go to the game and deserve a better product. And they're not delivering. This from Glenn from Laverne on the text line. And, you know, I listened to a lot of Jared's show yesterday. There was really, really good Preds discussion yesterday on our station. And, you know, Willie and D-Mace and Caroline, you know, started talking about the deadline and some of the comments that Poile made. And, you know, Jared's summation from the Arizona game and our conversation with Poile yesterday was basically, like, right now, if you're the Predators, you got to do one of two things. You either have to sell and change the direction and change out some of the players, or you need to fire the coach. That was Jared's stance yesterday. Like, the conversation around the Hines part of it right now, beyond the, oh, I think Hines needs to be fired, that a lot of Predators fans have been screaming about. Like, it's an interesting conversation that we brought up yesterday in terms of, you know, in fairness, he did get a lot of credit last year, at least from us, when it comes to the years that Forsberg had, Duchesne had, Yossi had, all these different things. Like, I thought John Hines did a really good job last year, and he got his top players to play really well and, for the most part, to be consistent, and that's your job as a coach, is to get your players to do that. When that's not happening this year, how much of that falls on the players how much of that falls on Hines. Like, I there's never really a scientific answer to that question. But as we discussed yesterday, if we gave credit to Hines last year for the years that those guys had, and we did, he deserves some of the blame for when it's not going the same way this year.
Well, I would argue a little bit. I don't know that I gave him a lot of credit for, like, Forsberg and Yossi, but definitely Duchesne and Johansson because of what those guys went through with him. I mean, they talked about it going into the year, right? They had these long conversations. So those two in particular, I thought, okay, that's Hines doing something not all coaches would do, and they responded. Did they respond because of him? I don't know, but you're right. I mean, he got credit for that. He also got credit for, like, you know, putting the herd line together and his style of play, you know, that he wants, sort of making this a grittier, tougher team and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
The problem is it's been a year now of them not playing very good hockey. They're a losing team, basically.
For calendar year.
Yeah. So that style has worn off, I guess, or it's just not as effective. So, but to your point, Laura, however you want to dice it up, he did get credit, and I think he deserved it. And if that's true, then when things go the other way, how do you not question him and coaching along with everything else?
Well, look, we've talked about the different issues with this team. I mean, last week I'm asking the question, like, why does it feel like, you know, after the Vegas game, why does it feel like it always takes just a kick in the pants with this team, right? Like, why does it feel like it always takes a wake-up call with this team to get going? And we talked about the different reasons for that, but one of the conclusions that you landed on was, you know, maybe they're just not very good, right? I mean, we're talking about them losing to Arizona now, and they're taking on Boston coming up tomorrow. Look, I have no idea how they're going to play tomorrow. I mean, this is going to be a tall task to go beat Boston. Maybe they do. They're at home. We'll see. But the bottom line is some of the inconsistency is beyond, like, the intangible reasons that we've talked about. Like, is there something wrong with the core group? Like, can they not get motivated on a daily basis? Like, is John Hines not doing a good job? I do think some of this just boils down to they're just not very good.
I think most of it does. I mean, Glenn, I think Hines lost the team. Like, I mean, see, again, I think individually, I do think that there was some tough love in there. And it's like with the Matt Duchesne for what he's done in the league, a lot of people would be like, yeah, I don't know if I'd be doing that. It worked. But has this team been playing for John Hines? I mean, again, this kind of goes to a sports cliche that I always question in pro sports. You know, Vrabel gets a lot of credit for rallying, for being a leader and all that stuff. And I think that's fair. But, like, has this team playing for John Hines before? When they were winning, was it because yes, Coach Hines got me pumped?
Yeah.
I mean, losing the team, what does that mean? I mean, he comes into work every day. They talk about what they need to do. And some nights they do it and some nights they don't. I think because they're not that good. I mean, so, like, I just don't, you know, I understand all the attention on the meeting and everything. And I mean, obviously there were some things that needed to be said and they thought it was productive. But even with that, on a given night, if they don't bring everything they have against a good team, they're not good enough to win.
The bottom line is they're in a really interesting spot now with the fan base, because I do think to some level, like after the season they had a year ago, you know, we saw what happened. They had career years from players. They barely got in the playoffs. And then your goalie gets hurt. What would have happened in the playoffs if he was healthy? I mean, I don't know. They were not beating Colorado. I don't care if UC Soros was in there. Would they have gotten a game or two? Maybe. I mean, I have no idea. What really, what people forget about, the conversation last year is they screwed it up on the last day of the regular season, and that ended up with them playing Colorado instead of Calgary. And I wonder what that series would look like if it wasn't Colorado in the first round. But that's what happened. That's what it was. And that's what you were dealing with in the aftermath of that. And I do think, to some degree, the Predators were a little bit surprised by maybe the reaction after all that. Like, the Predators fan base, I mean, we can go back to the poll at The Athletic that Adam Vingan put out there, our show. I mean, there was a very vocal contingent of the Predators fan base that was frustrated last year. And quite frankly, right now, like, I think we're reaching kind of a boiling point moment with the fan base. Like, they're mad, and if this continues, and they're not in the playoffs, or I think for a lot of them, even if they get in the playoffs and they're out in the first round again, the fan base is just, they're so tired of it that the conversation, anytime we start talking about the Predators this year, it doesn't matter if they win a game 6-1, doesn't matter if they lose a game 5-3, the conversation on our text line and on our phone line the next day is always the same thing. It's always about Poile and Hines. And that's where I think a lot of this fan base is right now.
Yeah. Now, there are people who are waiting to jump on those people when the Preds do go into a rebuild and they're bad, and then people aren't showing up, and it's like 60% full. Like, oh, this is what you wanted, huh? I mean, like there's still like sure. people who think that way. And look, I mean, I think that there's – it's fair to, you know, have that cautionary, look around at the league. But I'm with you. I don't think this is just like a few angry, loud people on social media. This is – I mean, someone yesterday said our entire section is not renewing our tickets. I'm like, are you sure about that? Did you poll your entire section? You know, that might
I'm always a little skeptical of those things.
Might be a little bit of exaggeration, but no. I mean, look, people are upset. Lance said, hell, 2 weeks ago there was hot seat talk between Stackhouse and Hines. Hines winning in a landslide now. Robbie, you motivated Jerry Stackhouse. The Vanderbilt Commodores are the hottest team in college basketball.
I mean, I've motivated a few people around here. Usually it's tight ends. Now it's apparently Gary Stackhouse.
Nice job.
Thank you very much. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators coming up next. Got a lot more of your thoughts to get to on our text line. We'll open up our phone line as well. We want to hear your call. 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.